Check. This is Mahatma Das. I'm here with Akura, and today we're going to talk about an interesting subject, which is self-confidence. And the reason self-confidence is such an interesting subject for devotees is that we are told we should feel like a fool in front of our spiritual master. And we see in the works of the acharyas, the songs, the writings, they express this sense of worthlessness, of being very low, very useless. I'm your useless servant. I am worthless. I am lower than the stool, than a worm and stool. So at the same time, we know that for us who don't have the full spiritual realization, we can get sidetracked, and that feeling turns into a total lack of self-confidence, which limits our ability or even destroys our ability to achieve certain goals, even to achieve basic success in Krishna consciousness. So I think it's a relevant subject. I think it's an important topic, and it's something that's very dear to the heart of Akura. Now, one of the things I wanted to say is that I've spoken to many devotees, and I asked them, I spoke to a counselor, and she said that the core issue that most people have is feeling some kind of lack of self-confidence or some form of not being as intelligent or talented enough or even worthy enough to be as successful as they would like to be. And I even knew a devotee, and I felt that she wasn't successful because she didn't want to outdo another person in her business, the person who introduced her to the business. And I've also heard that a lot of people are like that. They were afraid to become successful. They didn't want to outdo their fathers. They didn't want to do better than their father. They would be embarrassed. And then Akura this morning, he was telling me something about what Prabhupada said about outdoing, so-called outdoing your spiritual master.
Well, as far as I remember, Srila Prabhupada said that the spiritual master would like his disciple to become better than him. And there is an example, there is a story, I think it was Yamunacharya, whose spiritual master told him that he should not tell anyone the mantra he gave him. But he explained to him that this mantra will benefit you so much. So his logic was very simple and very devotional. He was thinking, well, if it will benefit me, why shouldn't I give it to everyone? So he publicly gave this mantra to people. And later on, his guru admitted, he said, you are better than me.
There's also a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada says that the disciple can do more than the spiritual master. Not that he can be better, but that he can do more by the mercy of the spiritual master. He can do more.
And then,
Prabhupada gave that example of how if you look at the spreading of Krishna consciousness successively at a certain point, each spiritual master was expanding the mission.
Yes.
Externally, apparently, more than the previous spiritual master.
Well, Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and his spiritual master, he spread it in India. So, you know, externally speaking, he already achieved more. But Srila Prabhupada always gave him credit. He always said, well, I'm running on the mercy of my spiritual master.
So then that brings up the question of just the word self. We're saying when we talk about self-confidence, well, what self are we supposed to be confident in? Is it, you know, you have the mentality, certain people have this mentality, I can do it, I'm smart, I'm talented, I can do it, I'm going to do it. You just have to work on it, work hard enough on it, and I'll be successful. And people are successful when they think that way. But at the same time, we're not taught as devotees to think that way. So how can we be successful if, in a sense, it seems we're thinking in a way which is antagonistic to what at least materialistic people would be thinking to be successful?
Well, you can be confident in Krishna, and confidence is described in Upadeshamrita as one of the six principles that are favorable for devotional service. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Shabda ke Parusham Rishu, I am the sound in ether and I am the ability in man. So if you believe that Krishna can give you unlimited ability and you become an instrument in his hands, then you can do amazing things. I have collecting quotes from the Vedabase which say everything is possible. And there is few points that Prabhupada mentions. Everything is possible by the mercy of Krishna. Everything is possible by the mercy of a Vaishnava. Everything is possible if you do sacrifice and things like that. So for us as aspiring devotees, confidence means confidence in Krishna and in our connection with him. And we are insignificant, we are small, we are 1/10,000th part of a tip of a hair. Sometimes we are compared to a speck of dust or a drop in the sea. But like we are like zero and Krishna is number one. And when you add one in front of the zero, it becomes 10.
You know, I was in a situation in which I wrote a letter to Prabhupada. And I was feeling not so inclined to management, I was the temple president, not even so capable. And Prabhupada said, the way you should think is that you have no qualification to do the service. And so right off, we could say, from material perspective, if you tell someone you have no qualification to do something, that would totally destroy any kind of self-confidence
right.
they had in succeeding. And then Prabhupada said, by thinking you have no qualification, you should always depend on Krishna to give you the qualification. So from the spiritual perspective, when we say the basis is no qualification or total lack of self-confidence, apparently total lack of self-confidence, it is, as you say, it's a total lack in confidence of this self, but not a lack of confidence in the Krishna self to give the unlimited intelligence and unlimited ability. Maybe not unlimited intelligence or unlimited ability, but to give the intelligence and the ability to do what we feel we're not qualified to do. And if you look at the spreading of Krishna consciousness in the early days, for the most part, it wasn't spread by people who had degrees in management, business. We were not trained speakers. We were not Vedic scholars. But the impossible becomes possible by the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And I think that was the principle Prabhupada based his preaching on.
Yeah. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayati girim. By the mercy of Krishna, lame man can cross mountains, blind man can see stars in the sky, and dumb man can
recite poetry.
Can recite beautiful poetry. So anything is possible by the mercy of Krishna. And to me, actually, there is something like spiritual self-confidence. That's the confidence in your sincerity to serve Krishna and to surrender to Krishna. And you can actually see how sincere you are by how much you live by the values you have accepted, by spiritual values and principles you have accepted. And we know when we actually are not true to what we know is right. And I think that undermines our confidence in our own sincerity. When someone is convinced that he is sincere and connects to Krishna, then he can be unstoppable. No matter what are the external results, but just give his best effort and be sure that Krishna is pleased.
I think there's also this idea in Bhagavad Gita, Nahi Kalyana Krit Kaschid Durgatim Tatta Gacchati, where Krishna says, one who does Kalyana, auspicious, or one who does good works, will never be overcome by evil.
Right.
So sometimes I've heard this verse quoted in relation to sincerity. In other words, one who does good or one who is sincere will never be overcome by evil. In the verse Apichet Sudaracharo, that even though someone does Sudaracharo, something bad, still, if he's but Jante Mam Ananyabhak, undeviatingly devoted to Krishna, then Sadhu Eva Samantavya, he's considered a sadhu. So it seems there that the sincerity to serve Krishna, despite all difficulties, is really the basis which brings us to Krishna. And in relation to this, I heard it said that the sincerity which brought us to Krishna consciousness, it is that same sincerity which will keep us going in Krishna consciousness. It's the core force. And then, as we know, Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, who does he give the intelligence to? Those who are already always engaged. Or we see how Krishna gives intelligence according to what you need and what you require that intelligence for. So if you require it for bhakti, he gives it for bhakti, even if you don't have it, you feel you lack, which is, as Prabhupada told me, is what we should feel that way. We should feel that way so Krishna can fill up our heart and minds with the right attitudes, the proper abilities and intelligence.
I'm glad you mentioned the attitude, because I think it depends very much on our attitude, how much we will be empowered and imbibed with the ability to perform, to achieve results, to do things. But Srila Prabhupada says that you don't have to worry if you follow what Krishna says. You don't have to worry about the results. Then you are not responsible. He's responsible. So you do your best, and then results depend on him. So we are afraid of failure. And sometimes, as you mentioned in the beginning, we are afraid of success. But these are ungrounded fears, because we don't know what will be the result of our effort. It doesn't depend on us. It depends on Krishna. So for us, the best what we can do is to make a sincere effort according to what we know so far, and then see what will be the result by Krishna's decision.
We also have to understand that sometimes Krishna will not give the result because we are not yet capable of handling the result. Just like one devotee asked Prabhupada, why doesn't Krishna give us the whole world? You know, because we often hear that, the Pandavas fought to regain the kingdom, to be rulers of the world. The devotees should be rulers. Why doesn't Krishna give us the entire world? So Prabhupada said, what would you do if you had the entire world? He said, you would simply sleep. So Krishna will not... I may have the capability, or potentially have the capability. He may not give it, or he may not give the results in accord with that capability, because I'm not able to properly utilize them. It could be the cause of my downfall. We often see this in book distribution. Sometimes the motive for, or not only in book distribution, it can be in any aspect of preaching, the motive may be to gain some recognition or acknowledgement from the other Vaishnavas. And with that motive, Krishna may not give success, because he knows if he gives too much success, there will be glory that will come with that, and that glory would be one's downfall. So I always personally feel that if I want to be successful in Krishna consciousness, I have to become more detached and more renounced, and then Krishna will allow that success to come to me, because then he knows I don't think it's because of me and I won't become proud, but I realize it's because of him, and therefore I'll be able to better utilize it.
Yeah. Another reason why Krishna wouldn't give results is that he wants to see how badly do you want it. For example, how badly do you want to distribute that book? How badly do you want to preach to that person? How badly do we want to build a temple for Krishna or do anything else? And so he tests us to see how how strong is our desire to do something for him and how much we want to please him.
That's true. It's, I often think of it like the wealthy father who, you know, that there was a story, I believe there's a story, the man was very wealthy. He was very wealthy, I think, as an artist. And he didn't give the wealth to the children, but he taught them the art. They asked, why didn't you give the wealth? He said, no. They would be spoiled by the wealth.
Oh, very nice. I like that.
They'd be spoiled by the wealth, so I gave them the talent. And you know that famous verse where Krishna basically says, I won't give you enough rope to hang yourself. You know, you may want something that's bad for you, and I won't give it because I know it's bad for you.
Mm.
So a lot of times, Krishna wants to, he also, as Prabhupada says, he also wants to see how we'll struggle to get something, and then that will increase our desire. I really want this. I had a very interesting experience in regards to this, and I had prepared many years ago, maybe 6 years ago, I had prepared myself to become a leader of seminars, to be able to give dynamic seminars to audiences of 1,000 or more, like the professional speakers and seminar givers that are very successful. I wanted to do that. And so I studied a lot of these seminar speakers. I studied their books. I would see their videos. I went and did a 5-day training by a very successful company. And then I began doing seminars and taking these practices, putting them into action, testing them. And then I was in Toronto. I was invited there to do a workshop on prayer and forgiveness. And so when I got there, I said, well, how many people are coming? And they, you know, and I was thinking 50, 60, you know, which by professional standards is not even a lot, because, you know, successful in the seminar business, 200, 300 people is a small group. And I was thinking, well, 50 people. So so I said, how many were coming? So she said maybe 18, 19, 20, I don't know, 17, maybe 22. And so we were going to, I found that out Friday afternoon, we were going to begin Friday evening. So I had a few rounds left. So I was walking in the neighborhood and I was having a little talk with Krishna, and I was getting mad at Krishna. And I was saying, Krishna, why are you doing this? I prepared myself. I'm ready. This seminar is really good. It's dynamic. Devotees are going to get a lot out of it. Non-devotees will get a lot out of it. Why are you only sending 20 people? I was mad at him. I said, you know, I want to take this out. I want to make this something big. I want to get out in the world. I want to, you know, for Prabhupada, I want to be successful. I want to be speaking to hundreds, thousands of people, impressing them with the principles of Krishna consciousness and how you can apply them to your daily life. So I was really getting upset with Krishna. Not really upset, but I was, you could say I was having a friendly talk, just thinking, Krishna, why? And then after about 10 minutes of thinking that way, this very clear voice came to me, and he said, when you're qualified, I'll send the people.
Wow.
It's like a clear message. You're now qualified for 20 people, I'm sending 20 people. When you're qualified for 100, I'll send 100. When you're qualified for 500, I'll send 500.
Wow.
So I think that's the way Krishna works with us. We may want greater results than we're actually qualified to get. And Krishna's saying, I will give them, but become qualified. And sometimes we become envious of a person who's successful. But rather than become envious, we should just think, no, I should become as qualified as that person.
And take their blessings and learn from them, especially learn what is it that you do that makes you successful and makes you able to please Krishna.
I think there's another aspect to this kind of self-confidence that we're talking about, and that's In a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Prabhupada's telling us that the Krishna consciousness movement will spread by following the principles of Krishna consciousness. And then he says, how it will happen, we don't know. But we have the confidence it will happen by the grace of Krishna. And I think, or the grace of Guru and Gauranga. And I think a lot of times where we get caught up is if we don't see how it's going to happen. And then we may lack the confidence. I can't see how this is going to happen. And that may create kind of this lethargy. Well, I don't want to go forward because I don't know exactly what to do, how to do it, how it's going to work, where they have this saying, ready, fire, aim. So ready, fire, aim deals with that problem, because normally you want to have, they say, you know, you should have a clear vision of what you want to do and exactly how it's going to happen. But ready, fire, aim is, by doing it, the vision will become clear. And by having being open to the inconceivable possibilities that Krishna can put before you that you don't see at the present time, and being open to the abilities Krishna can give you that you don't even see you have, then you have more confidence to go ahead and say, I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to see what happens. We're going to see what Krishna presents to us.
Yeah. I think that the solution for self-confidence is just increase your Krishna consciousness. Increase your faith in the holy name. Connect with Krishna more strongly. And then you will not have to worry about self-confidence. Like success teachers, they tell people to say, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Or I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. So, as a Gita coach, I tell people, you can do it. Krishna will help you. You can do it. Krishna will help you. Or I say, you should become your own friend, or make your mind your own friend. Don't allow your mind to be your enemy and, you know, torture you and get you into doing things that are against your self-interest. So like that, we can actually, we have so much in our scriptures to learn that we know how to act, how to think, and to be very, very confident that God can do anything, even through me.
Ivan, you reminded me of this wonderful story. When I was a new devotee, I was put in charge of the temple in Vancouver. And at one point, we decided to redecorate the temple. And my father was an artist, and I thought, I'll ask him to do a painting of Krishna. So I sent him a Brijbasi poster, Krishna playing his flute on the banks of the Jamuna. And when he saw that, he said, I don't think I can do that. He was basically a still life artist. He did some portraits, but this was a challenge for him. And my reply to him was, no, go ahead, Krishna will help you. I was a new devotee, I was enthusiastic, and I was already doing something that was totally impossible for me to do, which was following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, living as a devotee. So I was very much in the mode of, you know, the impossible is possible. So he said, okay, I'll try, we'll see what happens. So then he did the painting, and he was very happy with the result of the painting, because he didn't think he could really do it. Wow. And the interesting thing is that he never forgot that. And there was a period of time where I was not much in contact with him. So during that period of time, whenever I would talk to him, or whenever I would see him, inevitably that conversation came up. He said, you remember that painting? I didn't think I could do it. And you said, Krishna will help me. And he always said, and he did.
Wow.
He remembered that. And he actually had become an atheist. After my mother died of cancer, he said, how can there be a God, because she suffered so much? But still, he would always say, you said Krishna would help me, and he did. And he never forgot this. So he experienced that in his life, the power of Krishna, for his willingness, because he said, okay, I'll try. He's just open to trying.
So his faith increased. His faith in God increased through trying to do something with God's help.
Yes,
but
exactly.
On recommendation of his son. I was coaching a devotee, and the devotee was complaining, oh, this doesn't work, and my spouse is not helpful, and this and that, and I need this, and I need that. And I said, why are you attached to get some resources from certain people? Just be flexible. You can ask other people. Have you asked everyone? Well, no. Or actually, I asked, but they were not very helpful. So how many times did you ask them? And then, well, only once, actually, I might say, actually, I almost asked them only half time because it was like half-hearted. And then I said, you see, there is always many more options than you can see at any particular moment. So you have to explore them and then try them. And then devotee took it and really took off. You know, amazing report after maybe 2-3 weeks. He says, you know, this works. And, you know, Krishna helped me so much. And these people, somehow they were inspired to help. And everything is working now regarding different projects and things. And it's so simple. It's so simple. And it's actually very, very, exciting that trying to see what Krishna has for you in store is like an adventure. You never know, you know. Will I succeed? Or how it will happen? Who will help me? Where the money will come from for this project? Or where some other resources or support will come? You never know. Sometimes even a child can give you an amazing clue to how to succeed in certain effort. And that all has to do with Krishna. Krishna is giving through different people ideas, and he's everywhere. He can help us in unlimited ways, but we have to connect to him.
A lot of times you find that when you have the situation you're trying to deal with, either a problem you're trying to solve or something you're trying to achieve, and as you say, if the desire is strong, then sometimes something will happen that you didn't even plan on happening, and someone will just come into your life and offer you a bit of advice or a connection.
Or some resource, like a house.
Or something. This happened to me personally in my personal business. And I felt so helpless in running a business because I don't really have the mentality of a businessman or the full mentality that's required to be successful. So at one point I said, Krishna, help me because I'm not really good at business or not as good as I need to be. And from that point, things started happening which were directly his influence. Things I was almost resistant to were happening, coming to me, but I saw that they were improvements to my business. And then I kind of accepted that mode, that if I give myself to that mentality of I'm not qualified, Krishna, help, he's going to send things, he's going to be open. Then it got to the point where I was thinking of hiring a devotee, because the other devotee that was working for me could no longer work, and I was thinking of this other devotee. And 2 hours after I thought of that devotee, she called up and said, can I work for you? Hmm. So it got to that point that I was so open to that's how things work, that we're so dependent as opposed to being in the ego-based, false ego-based idea. I'm going to do it. I'm the controller. I'm the doer. And if you study everything Prabhupada said about his success, you will see it all lines up with what we're talking about. I didn't know how it will happen. I did it. It was his order. I didn't know if I would be successful. I went to New York to fail, but I simply was executing his order. So there was no expectation that I had to succeed. Like we're saying, the fear of failure. Some devotees feel, well, I have to succeed, and I have to succeed on a certain level. And I say that even if Prabhupada didn't succeed, the fact that he came to America and preached, that was success because he was executing the order of Guru. So sometimes we have to look at success simply as doing the right thing, doing right, what we know we should do. You know, I've chanted for so many years and I still feel like I'm not a very good devotee, and my godbrothers or sisters or others have achieved so much more success than I have. But still, my success at least is that acknowledged my success of what I've done. I went to a seminar and they taught this principle, how it's important to acknowledge your successes, because a lot of times you are successful and you don't think you are. You know, if you've chanted 16 rounds daily, or even if you've chanted 8 rounds or followed any of the principles, you're better than most people in the world, and you can celebrate that success. That's a success. And what they were teaching is, if you celebrate those successes, you see that you are. You have created some success, and that builds the confidence and realize, well, I have been successful, or I have been successful by Krishna's grace.
There is a saying that there is no limit to how much you can achieve if you don't care who takes the credit.
Yeah, very nice. I love that.
So we always want to give credit to Krishna, to Guru, to other devotees. And in this way, you know, we are free. You're not bound by the results, and you're not bound by wanting to be famous and things like that. And then it becomes exciting doing anything, anything you can do.
Well, there's also that saying, you can't help others without helping yourself.
Right.
You can't light another's path without lighting your own path.
Yeah.
So I think that's also a very important point, to be in that mood of not to be the center, that I want the glory to come to me, but my motive is to help others. This is a really important point, because I think a lot of times when we're saying Krishna won't give success, he may not give success if we want to be in the center, if we want to be in the limelight.
Right.
When I did this training in how to do seminars, they made a point that really stuck out in me. And you know, when you're doing a seminar, especially if you're doing a seminar for a lot of people, you can't be very passive on the stage, because the people in the back will just fall asleep. You have to project energy out to the audience. So they say you have to be bigger than life on stage. So let's say you're giving a class in a room to 20 people. You don't have to project much. It's a small area. But if you're in a room with 300 people and you're at the same energy level, you might be giving a class to 30 people, the people in the back of the room will feel very low energy, and it may be very difficult for them to focus. So he said, you have to be bigger than life. It's almost like you have to act a little bit to make your point, be a little bit dramatic. Sometimes you have to raise your voice and so forth, then speak softly and move around on the stage. You know, different things that will help people pay attention. And then they said, but you always have to remember, the seminar is not about you, it's about them.
Right.
So I think oftentimes, you know, when we're doing something, we get caught up in the idea, well, it's about me. You know, I want people to like me. I want people to appreciate me. I want people to think I'm this, I'm that. And we lose the connection with, well, I'm doing it for them. And that's really where Krishna is going to give us success, when the focus is on, it's for them, I do it for them.
Wonderful.
There's another speaker, and he said, before he chants a kind of japa, before he speaks, and he said, for 45 minutes before I speak, I sit behind stage and I chant the mantra, how can I serve? How can I serve? How can I serve? Wow. How can I be of service? So he enters that mood of service. And then we see that when we don't want the glory to come to us, then Krishna is much more inclined to give the glory to us, because he knows whatever glory he gives to us, we will utilize that glory to help other people, and we won't be deviated.
Let's speak a little bit about failure.
Thank you for being with us. We had a great talk again. I enjoyed speaking with you, and I think the devotees are going to really appreciate this, and hopefully we're going to see their service expand as they gain greater confidence in Krishna.
Thank you, and I would like to offer to devotees several free coaching sessions if they want to apply these principles and discuss more of these things.
So Akura's email address is akura@pamho.net, akura@pamho.net, and I am at mahat@aol.com, mahat@aol.com, or if that's too hard to remember, mahatmadasa@gmail.com, all one word, mahatmadasa@gmail.com. Okay, we'll see you next time. Hare Krishna.